One of the things I'd like to say, first of all, I really do, I appreciate the opportunity, because I'm always excited to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Amen. I'm always excited to tell someone about the transition that He's given me in my life. And this transition has been something that has been on me for a very long time, from my childhood. But I, being the wayward kid and the kid that liked to do some of the things my way, I didn't quite listen. And in not listening, there's prices to pay. And some of those prices were quite painful. They were quite painful, but the Spirit of God still never left me. And I didn't quite understand. And as I developed and continued in my manhood, there was a lot of bad choices that I was making. It was full of bad choices. The things that I did, I had so many bad choices, but I acquired still so many things in the bad choice making. I've always had things. I bought my first new car at the age of 22 years old. It had 8 miles on it. At Bob Jackson Ford. I was 22 years old. 6 weeks later, I bought a house. Amen. At 22 years old. But there were still so many things that was just not right. That was just not right. I've always had this leadership mentality, but it was so distorted because I didn't understand what God was telling me. And I kept making a lot of bad choices. And it led me into a lot of bad things. Some of the things that happened to me in my life, I had a commercial and residential security alarm systems company. I was a fool then. I had a convenience store. I was a fool then. I had a restaurant. I was a little bit better then. I was a little bit better when that came because I had grown some. But through all these things, my mom used to say things to me like, "Baby, don't be a fool all your life." And that still is some things that I say today. I told my grandson that today, as a matter of fact. Don't be a fool all your life. My mom would say things to me like, "A good name is more precious than silver and gold." She would say things like that. My mom went to the eighth grade. She was born in March 8th of 1926, in a place called Marion, Alabama, where there was a lot of racism. A lot of things was going on. One of the things that my mom said was, she said to me as I grew older, she said, "I always said that my children would never pick cotton." And there was 9 of them that got in the car and left Alabama, and they went north. Everybody came north. We happened to stop in a place called Buffalo, New York. I was born in Buffalo, New York, and I came to Fort Wayne at an early age. But in doing those things, I still had a lot of waywardness. I just made a lot of bad choices. And one of the things that I want to talk to you guys tonight about is this word called choices. It's one of my favorite words. Because the word choice, the definition of the word choice, means being able to make a decision when there's more than one option. Another word I want to talk to you guys about is the word freedom. Freedom stems from being able to speak and to make choices without resistance or hesitation from someone else. And we all are challenged by these things in our lives. And the last thing that I want to talk to you about is this word called spirituality. That word spirituality, it allows you to be able to affect your human body with spiritual principles, not physical or material. So we Every day we're plagued with these things that I'm going to talk about. Every day we have to make a choice. Because there's more than one decision on what it is that you should be doing that day. You have to make more than one decision throughout the day. And oftentimes, that choice gives us the freedom to be able to choose between good and evil. That choice, because there's more than one option, it allows me to be able to choose between good and evil. In this Bible itself, there's 31,102 verses of scripture in the Bible. There's over 3,000 promises in the Bible. We all have issues, but none of us have 3,000 issues. But we all got an issue in there somewhere. But none of us have 3,000 issues. So it leads me to believe if I make the right choice, I have the freedom and I understand the spirituality of my Creator, I can make the right choice. I can do something different because I have the freedom to be able to do that. The only resistance that I'll have in my freedom is if I make the wrong choices. If I make the wrong choices, guess what? My freedom can be eliminated. It can be stifled. I may not be able to go where I want to go. Guys, I used to do so many things wrong. But that thing of righteousness kept plaguing me. Do you guys understand that most of the sins and the bad decisions that you make are premeditated? These are things that you think about. You think about doing wrong before you execute the wrongs. You think about them. I recall when I used to sell drugs, I used to think about my exit strategy. When leaving the place that I was going to deliver drugs to, I would think about, I better go down this street and not this street. I better do it this way and not that way. When I would cheat in my relationships, if I was going to get with this female, I would always call her and say, is it close clear? Can I go this way or should I go that way to get over there? How should I go where no one else would see me doing my wrong? Those are premeditated things that we do, guys. But when we understand the value of choice and the freedom and the liberties that comes from our spiritual insight of our Creator, guess what? Our choices are better. The freedom that we experience is better. It's so much better. Guys, on August the 25th, I will have 34 years clean from cocaine. 34 years. And it's something, the place that I got busted at was at Hannah and Masterson Street. Right there. And the thing about it was, I used to pray all the time for my addiction. At that time, I had stopped selling and I became my best customer. And I started praying because my life was in such a shamble, but there was this spirit of righteousness that kept telling me, don't do that, do this. And I kept saying, I'll get back with you later, God. I really don't have time right now. I gotta go get high. I'll get back with you a little bit later. And the day that I got busted, my son was 4 years old at that time. He'll be 38 years old in December. He tugged me. As I was leaving, he pulled my shorts. And he said to me, a four-year-old, he said to me, Daddy, looking up at me with them big brown eyes, and he said, God don't like ugly. And I walked away from him anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, you only use cocaine crack one time. You only use it one time. And that's that initial use. After that, it is using you. Because it tells you what to do. It tells you what to do. It tells you where to go and who to see and how to get there. it begins to take over your existence. So guess what? You lose that freedom. You lose the choice that you have. The spiritual entity is still there. Because God will never put anything in front of you that he won't put something else in front of you to tell you how to get out of that other thing that you're thinking about doing that's not right. It's not how God works. It's just not how he works. And if when we find ourselves in these predicaments, when we lose our freedom, we lose a sense of morality. Our choices are limited because we don't understand that we have a choice between good and evil. And we say our words are the most powerful thing that we possess. God said that he spoke everything into existence. There was no blueprint for the foundation of the earth. He said, let it be so, and guess what? And it was. Today, I don't even like killing bugs unnecessarily. I really don't. I'm a dog breeder. I breed dogs. And it's amazing to me when I see the dogs begin to grow from the time that they're born. It almost looks like they're growing right before your eyes as you're watching them. And I marvel at God. And I just marvel at him and these birds that I see and the things that I see. I see them from a whole different perspective now. And God did not make any junk. We make a lot of junky choices. As a matter of fact, when God created us, he said, and it is good.
Amen.
And when I look around sometimes, guys, and I say, he said it is good, but then also on that, he gave us a little bit more, Brother Howard. He said, look, he said, you are my prized creation. You are the best thing that I've ever made.
Amen.
The best thing that I've ever made is a human. He said, let's create them in our image. Again, there's 31,102 verses of scripture in the Bible. That's a lot of talking. That's a lot of inspiration that was given to us. There's a lot of things to inspire us in the Bible. But see, oftentimes, like I was, because I had a few things, I thought I was all that. I thought I was in charge of certain things. Money was not really an issue until the dope game came in there. And then it was one of my biggest issues because I never had enough. I never had enough to fulfill the desires that I had in my flesh. You guys got to understand, there's a difference between spirituality and emotion and being emotional. There's a big difference. Emotions help the natural man. Spirituality helps the spiritual man to grow and to make better decisions and choices and to understand the freedoms that I have because I've done that. In this Bible, there's a particular character that I love him so much. I love a whole lot of them in the Bible. Some of them I'm still confused. I'm still confused about certain things. But when, just like the conversion that this particular guy had in the Bible that transcends everything that he was doing wrong, because that spirit of morality was on him. It was on him all this time, and he couldn't understand why the officials and the leaders ahead of him wanted to crucify the one that we call Christ. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand, why do you all want to hurt him? Because he's only telling us to do what is right. He's only telling us to turn from our evil and wicked ways and to do what is right. He's not hurting anyone. He's saving, he's changing lives. Mm-hmm. He's given us the ability to make the right choices so our lives will change. He's given us this freedom and this spirituality that we can live by and be better people. Why do you want to hurt him? Why do you simply want to hurt him? And you have to ask yourself these questions too when you go back into that darkened mindset and that evil thought come to you. Why do I want to do this? Why would I want to do this anymore? You guys know that old saying, if you do what you always done, you'll get what you always got. My mom used to always say to me, she'd say this, she would speak metaphorically a lot. Because she only went to the eighth grade, but she was the most intelligent woman that I've ever seen in my life. She would say, baby, if you do wrong, wrong will come to you. And it's so simple. But we complicate things because that ability and the freedom that we have to make choices. This Bible has no buts, mights, maybes, almost. None of those words don't exist in the Bible. They don't exist there. It's a book of absolutes. If I absolutely do wrong, wrong gonna come to me. If I absolutely do right, right will come to me. But this character, his name is Nicodemus. I don't know how many of you have heard of this fellow named Nicodemus, but Nicodemus was a powerful ruler. He was a powerful person. He had all the worldly things that he possessed. He was a Pharisee. He was also a Sanhedrin. The word Sanhedrin means supreme or power. He was a gentleman of influence. He was a teacher. But he was a Pharisee. And being a Pharisee, they were braggers. And when you look and you study the Bible, you'll see that a lot of religious leaders and religious folks were troublemakers. That's where Jesus got a lot of his trouble from. Those religious leaders and those high officials saying you need to do this way and you need to do this that way because those are my rules. And only thing Jesus was telling them, hey guys, let's take it easy on those who are less fortunate. Help someone who doesn't have anything. Love someone who hasn't had any love. Feed someone who's hungry. Hug someone who needs a hug. Give away a smile to someone that needs a smile. It was just that kind of person. Wasn't complicated at all. But the choices that we make limits our freedom. So there was this story about Nicodemus. It's in John 3. And I'm going to read a few verses to you guys on this, and I'll explain some of the things that he has put on my heart. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered, and he said to him, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. What fascinated me most of it, of all in this, the fact that Nicodemus, when he came to Christ, he came to him at night. You have to understand that he was a ruler. He was a teacher. He was one that was in charge. So in being in charge means you have followers. That means that someone is behind you if I'm in charge. So he came to Jesus at night because Jesus had been performing miracles and doing mighty works. And he was getting a lot of grief from a lot of the Pharisees. Pilate, Nicodemus, and those guys wanted to crucify him. So he came to him at night simply because I don't want my friend to see what I'm doing because he's going to have a different thought about me because he's going to feel like I'm getting weak. Because I'm the guy that's a Pharisee. I'm the guy that's doing these things that I'm in charge. People follow me. Why would I be weak and follow this guy y'all call Christ? because he's disrupting everything that we say is right. He's telling the people that we should not be doing it. We should be doing it this way. So the conflicts came, and he did not want to perhaps be crucified. Because can you guys go back in the archives of your thinking and remember when there was times when there was things that was in your mind and you said, I want to do this way, and some friend that you had started looking at you in a different way? Because you wanted to do something right. You wanted to change your way of thinking. And somebody who knew you said, he's tripping or she's tripping. No, we don't sell it like this. We don't do it like that. Somebody starts saying something to mess with your way of thinking, boggling up your choices. Someone came to you and said some of those things. And ultimately, you probably made a wrong choice because you didn't listen to that spirit of righteousness that was in you. Because in making those bad choices, again, there's always a spirit of righteousness right there. Always. It's never going to leave you. When you're in the midst of making a bad choice, that spirit of righteousness is always telling you, do it this way. But it's always up to you what I'll do. Because God has never forced anything on anybody. You may not have learned through the lessons that we were given. May have taken some of us a little bit longer to get it, but he never forced it on you. But one of the things that I see here about Nicodemus was no longer concerned about what the people thought. He said, something is in my spirit. Something is going on with me. I don't feel the way that I used to feel. I don't feel that I need to go out and do wrong anymore. Something that Jesus said I heard. It is bringing about this change in me, and I want to be a different person. There was something that he heard. But here's what was so fantastic about that whole thing as well. Nicodemus didn't go to his friend, Brother Lyle, and say, hey, Lyle, what you think? He didn't go to him. He went to the source. See, guys, we got to learn how to go to the source.
Amen.
We can't always go to someone that we say that is our worldly friend. We got to go to the source and ask Jesus, say, what do I do? How do I change my life? How do I make these wrongs right? We can't go to a friend all the time. Nicodemus did not care about what his friends had to say. I'm going to go see Jesus when it's dark. And I know my friends will be somewhere sleeping. Because I don't want to hear their mouth. I don't want to hear them tell me I'm tripping. I should not be doing this. I shouldn't change my life because I got power. I'm in charge of something. I'm running things. I don't want to give up my power. But I don't want my friends to really know. So I got to go to the source. And the second thing about him going to the source was by him not caring about what his friends thought, he mustered up the strength as he went to the source, and he asked him, what do I need to do? How do I fix these wrongs? How do I fix these wrongs? How do I change my way of thinking? And Jesus replied to him. He said, surely no man didn't tell you this. He said, no man didn't tell you this. The Spirit must be upon you. He said, the Spirit of righteousness is upon you. So when you start thinking these particular ways and this moral sense of value is no longer depleted, but it starts to grow. Because there's changes. I have different choices. I make different choices now. My sensitivity level has grown. I don't feel the same. I was traveling to Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago, and literally, you know how a bird flies in front of your car? And 99% of the time, you miss it. I didn't. And there was a guy that was riding with me. I said, oh my God, I didn't want to harm that bird. I didn't want to harm that bird because I didn't create that bird. There's a spiritual awakening that evolves when you trust God. God allows you to see things from a whole different perspective. And when Jesus went on, as he began to answer him, he says, no man didn't tell you this. He said, because flesh breeds flesh and spirit breeds spirit. My flesh is one of the biggest emotions that I have. A lot of things that I do in the flesh feels good, even though they're not right. They feel good. They feel good. And that's an emotion that we all possess. But it limits our freedom. But when we do like Nicodemus did, when we went to the source, asked the question, how do I change? He told him how he changed. And he said, flesh breeds flesh and spirit breeds spirit. When he was allowed to have the spirit come into his life, he changed. This is a very, very powerful story. Not only did he change, he was given the opportunity to take Christ's body and prepare for burial. But when he was on Pilate's team, Pilate's team wanted to kill him. Pilate and him said, this man didn't do anything wrong. See, he didn't do anything wrong. He's just telling us what to do right. And Pilate said, I don't want his blood on my hand. And Nicodemus was with him. And you're thinking, guys and women and girls, what we have to do is we have to ask for a spiritual awakening. We have to go to the source and ask for a spiritual awakening. We have to ask God, how do I change my life? What is it that I can do different? And how do I know when it's your will? And I'm glad you asked. God's will is one of three things. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. God will answer your prayers in one or three ways. He will say yes, no, or wait. But he's not the one that will just leave you hanging. He won't just leave you hanging. He will answer your prayers. He will tell you how to get better. Ladies and gentlemen, I never thought I would have 33 years clean, 34 years clean. In just a few days, I'll have 34 years clean. Amen. I mean, 34 years. Jesus wasn't on the earth that long. He was only here 33. But I have 34 years clean. And I used to smoke a lot of cocaine. I used to lie a lot. I used to deceive a lot. I tell my grandchildren, I've done everything but die. But when I died in my flesh, I was alive in the spirit of righteousness. Amen. So in doing these things, guys, as you go through your day, and there's things that you want to do, the things that you're contemplating certain decisions, understand that word choice. Being able to make a decision when there's more than one option. That is a word that you guys should put in your vocabulary and use it strongly and wisely. It has helped me to get through a whole lot of dilemmas in my life. Understanding that I have a choice. Not only do I have a choice, I have the freedom to make that choice. Then when I see things and when I'm spiritually awoke, then I'm no longer morally dead. Then I'm no longer morally dead. Then it doesn't really matter to me if Billy and them come over or Jimmy and them come over or bully calls me or I get to see Marie, none of that matters anymore. I've owned a few businesses, and I'll tell you the job that I have now. I'm a bus driver for East Allen County Schools. That is one of the best ministries that I've ever had in my life. It's one of the best jobs that I've ever had in my life. May not make as much money as I did in other things, but I have people say, how can you do it? And I often tell them, how can I not? I recall the day that my mom passed away. I was there with her, and she had cancer, ovarian cancer. And as she began to become comatose, she could no longer speak, but she could hear me. And I asked her, I said, if you hear me, Mom, squeeze my hand. I love you. And she gave me as much squeeze as she possibly could. My mom would always say, do what's right. And the day that my mom passed, she passed in her home. When the coroner came, I was able to take my mom off of her bed with the assistance of the coroner, zip her up in the bag, give her my final kiss, put her on the gurney, put her on the coroner's car, take her to this coroner's car, and close the door. And people ask me, they say, how can you do that? How could you have done that? And I'll say that and I'll repeat it up forever. How could I not? How could I not? I was so blessed to have my mom for 45 years. For 45 years. There's so many who didn't have their parents for 45 years. And today I'm a great granddad.
Amen.
And I'm just happy. I'm happy today, guys, about a lot of things. And one of the things that gives me the most happiness is being able to understand the Spirit of God and to understand that I have choices. I have choices. Those of you who are in the system now, who will be leaving the system, you have an out date. You have an out date coming. Those of you who are in the system, understand choice. I have a choice. I don't have to go back. If I go back, guess what? I get my old prison number. They don't give me a new one. They give me my old one. They keep them forever. Understand, those of you who are not in the system, who just want to be better, who just want to eliminate all those things in their life that cause corruption and destruction in their lives, understand the word choice. Those who are feeling sad, understand the word choice. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Those who are thinking that I want to go do something that's not right, understand the word choice. Understand that I have a choice and I have the freedom to make that choice. Knowing God, He don't force you to do anything. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I love you all and I appreciate your time and allowing me to speak tonight. God bless you all.